The Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through to 31. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem and among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told him how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judah, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers.
As we are to think about whom Saul, later named Paul, met, and what impact they made him in his early part of faith journey this morning, let us watch an introductory video, which is the tale of the film called Paul, Apostle of Christ, Persecutor to Persecuted. So watch this short video first.
Saul of Tarsus was the famous St. Paul, as everybody knows him. Before becoming St. Paul, he was the biggest enemy of the first Christians, until he had this vision. He saw the Lord in front of him, and then he was converted into Christianity, and he became one of the most iconic saints of Christianity.
When I think of God's grace and mercy and who's the one embodiment of that, it's always Saul to me. You know, somebody who was persecuting Christians, goes from the basically greatest persecutor of the early church into the greatest evangelizer in all of church history. So it's always been something that stuck with me. When I had my encounter with Christ and really experienced that grace and love and mercy for the first time, Paul's story has always resonated with me. So after making Full of Grace, it was immediately the next choice. There was nobody else to focus on.
I've spent 30 years playing billiards. And I guess that experience of playing men who always control others, it's a fantastic resource for me to know what that is, to have played all those people and to have done all those terrible things, not personally, but as a character over the years. And now to get a chance to expiate those sins and that guilt through the character of Paul. And I find it very uplifting.
What I think God sees when he sees someone like Saul, he sees a man or a woman on an extreme kind of scale of passion and anger and hatred. I feel like God takes great pleasure in flipping those people. The extreme nature of Paul against the Christians when it was flipped was just the other side of the spectrum, 180 degrees over, that extreme love for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And I think it's that passion. And ultimately, when I whittle down the message from Paul, nobody is beyond the reach of the grace of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. I think that's such a powerful message that the world needs to hear. To hear Paul say, I'm the chief of sinners, and yet I could do nothing without the grace of God. Everything is redeemable. God is not standing over us going, shame, guilt. He's saying, I love you. I want you. Come to me.
God loves us before our sin. Yes. After our sin, yes, and also during our sin. And a lot of people say, no, God doesn't have that kind of grace. God doesn't have that kind of big heart. Yes, he does. He loves us.
So how much do you know about Paul? He's one of the greatest servants of Jesus Christ in the Bible. But today we will touch on just a small portion of his faith and his life journey. And today's story from the Bible is about Saul, who was the biggest enemy of the first Christians, but changed significantly. After his conversion, it took some time and needed someone's help for him to be accepted by Christian groups. When you look at Saul on the road to Damascus in the early part of the chapter 9, which we didn't read this morning, but you can see a very fervent man who actually thought he was serving God by persecuting followers of Jesus Christ. In Acts 9, Luke highlights that there was a dramatic change of Saul and his direction. For your information, while he was still fairly young, he was sent to Jerusalem to receive his education at the school of Gamaliel in the city of Jerusalem, one of the most noted rabbis in history. Saul was the top student of his year, full of zeal, busily engaged in serving God, but going the wrong way, as you read verse 1. Of course, his intention and direction was totally changed on his way to Damascus. In this message, we are going to find out whom Saul, Paul met and what impact they made him in his life. Firstly, Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it made him to change his direction, his intention, not totally. It is a significant event in Saul's journey, and descriptions of the event are repeated two more times in the book of Acts, chapter 22 and chapter 26. What happened when he met the risen Christ? In the text it says, there is a voice calling Saul by name. Saul was Paul's Hebrew name, the name that established his family tree and national identity, the name in which he took all his academic awards at the University of Jerusalem. God's call is always directed to the real person. It is easy to say, no, Lord, you have got the wrong person. But God's call says, no, it's you I want. No matter who you are and what you have done, all that goes to make up the real you. In Saul's first encounter with Christ, there is a heavenly light. Saul cannot doubt that it is from God. Saul, who is trying so hard to serve God, can only say, Lord, I don't know who you are. And the answer comes, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Saul was convinced that Jesus was the wrong way, the one who was leading all these other poor souls astray, and now he speaks with the risen Christ. In Luke's story, there is a dramatic fall. The arrogant persecutor who knows what's right for everyone else becomes humiliated. Literally, you know, he fell onto the ground. Saul was out to arrest others when the Lord arrested him. Moreover, what we can find from the text is he is blinded, has to be led by the hand into the city, and will spend how many days? 3 days in the dark, waiting to be told what to do. His spiritual eyes had been opened, but his physical eyes were closed. God was thoroughly humbling Saul and preparing him for the ministry of Ananias. He fasted and prayed for 3 days. Before he could work for God, he would have to learn dependence on God's grace. Here we need to acknowledge that we were nothing, but we become something because of the grace of God. We didn't do, but we do know because of the wisdom of God. Paul himself puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. We find here that the Lord had a special work for Saul to do. The Hebrew of the Hebrews would become the apostle to the Gentiles. The persecutor would become a preacher later to be persecuted. And the legalistic Pharisee would become the great proclaimer of the grace of God. In today's text, we can find that Paul met Ananias and was helped by Ananias. Ananias was also a devout Jew who was a believer of Jesus Christ. Ananias only has a part, yet he plays a key role in the drama of Acts. He was the person whom God chose to release Saul from his imprisoned and blinded state into full and active faith. He's not an apostle, simply a disciple, one of the many unsung heroes of Luke's story. But like Samuel and Isaiah, he was ready to say, "Here I am, Lord," when God spoke to him. Like Philip, he received precise directions, but unlike Philip, he's told whom he is going to meet, a man called Saul, who is praying. That's all he needs to know, all that matters to God. But it isn't enough for Ananias. He knows a lot about the Saul, none of it reassuring. He knows exactly why Saul was come to the masses. So Ananias argues with God, trying to tell God his business. Look, you don't know this guy. But God does know Saul, knows the very worst about him, and still chooses him. What happened? Ananias obeyed, and he prayed, and Saul's eyes were healed. He prayed for Saul to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. He was. He called him brother. In the text, we can find that Saul also was helped by his followers in Damascus. Saul started telling people about Jesus Christ. He had been trained by the best Old Testament teachers. He knew a lot about the Bible. He could show others the descriptions of the Messiah, the promised Savior. he could prove that Jesus fit the descriptions perfectly. He was smart. He was full of God's wisdom. He was so glad to tell the truth, true message to others. However, Jewish leaders in Damascus didn't understand the sudden change happened to Paul, to Saul. I guess it could be very natural to be suspicious about the Saul, whom once was a persecutor, but now a proclaimer of the good news. Could you trust him naturally or easily? You may have heard from a former motorbike group member who experienced a people's prejudice because of their out appearance, even after being converted to Christianity. We may be the same. We would reluctantly trust the former murderer as a genuine and sincere ordinary person even after being changed. Jewish leaders wanted Saul to keep on trying to get rid of the Christians. They even wanted to kill Saul, have several plots to kill Saul in secret. However, believers helped Saul escape. They loaded him on a basket over the city wall. He ran to Jerusalem for help. In the text, what we can find is Saul met Barnabas. Twist my tongue this morning. He met Barnabas. Sorry, thank you. Why just confused? Barnabas. Was helped to be genuine believer of Christ. Saul went to Jerusalem. There were lots of believers there. The disciples and apostles were there, and they were still afraid of Saul. They didn't let him into their group. They thought he was pretending to be a believer. Then Barnabas met Saul. His name means son of encouragement. Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles. He helped him see Saul had really changed. Saul was their brother in Christ. The role of Barnabas is crucial in the story. He welcomes the new convert, introduces him to the apostles, and tells his story. And in the text, we can find Saul was helped by fellow brothers in Jerusalem. Saul began to do what God called him to. Saul began to preach in Jerusalem. He spoke boldly about Jesus Christ. He knew the good news was true. Saul became one of the most important preachers, teachers, and missionaries of all time. Saul helped non-Jewish people like us learn the truth about Jesus Christ. Many parts of the New Testament were written by Paul. However, people of the Jews tried to kill him, so he was led to go home when fellow brothers knew the plan of Jews. So Saul went home to Tarsus in the province of Sicilia to wait quietly maybe some years before Barnabas came to find him and bring him back to play an active role in the life of the church in Antioch. Can you see significant dynamics in today's text? Saul met various people whom helped him to change his direction of faith and keep his journey towards future. Who has ever played the role of Ananias or Barnabas or other fellow believers for you? What do you do when it looks like God is going to ask you to play one of those roles to someone else? Have you ever experienced of a help from other Christian colleagues? I believe you have. Have you helped someone to find Christ or to grow their faith? What do you learn from today's message? We met various people in our lives, yet we met very special Christian colleagues here at Lugano Pico's Uniting Church, and we worship together and we do ministry together as a community of faith. In doing so, we as the body of Christ, God's family, we help each other and we help each other to grow the faith and fulfill God's mission. We do that because we are designed to help and to be helped by other members. If you are a Christian, you do need other believers. God expects believers to grow in their faith and grow together. The growth won't happen by individuals. And Christian families need each other to grow in their Christian faith. How do we help each other as the body of Christ, as God's family? We may help each other by praying together. Prayer is the most important driving force of everything, the source of everything, the director of everything. We pray in various ways and at different times, but just pray together. As I said 2 weeks ago, remember Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. As the whole church, we may pray together. Every Friday morning at 7:30, whatever you are doing and whenever you are going, wherever you are going, and we would pray as the whole church. We may help each other by being present to the moment when someone is in need. Being present to a people, to a person who is in need might be just enough in many circumstances. We may help each other by listening. The first step for effective communication is listening. We know that we might be easily tempted to talk more rather than listening, but to build a healthy relationship, attentive listening is very important. We may help each other by being positive. If you always keep holding negativeness, we won't go anywhere. We have to work with what we have. The asset-based strategy is a way to move forward. And we could be an encourager. Being an encourager is the best way to go ahead of any of God's ministry and mission. That we can strengthen people, we can empower people, we can build a good relationship. We can help each other by working together, by having fellowship together. That's what Saul experienced in his early part of his life, only part of his faith journey to become the great preacher, to become the greatest missionary in the history in the New Testament. Saul met various people whom helped him to change his direction of faith and keep his journey toward future. Because of those people's insignificant help, Paul played a great role. That was to be the apostle to the Gentiles and the proclaimer of the grace and love of God. Now, God calls you to take that role. God calls you to play the role of those fellow Christian colleagues who impacted Saul's faith and life, to play the role of Saul and Paul in God's mission. Let us ponder. What small things can we do to show love to others? How might we help others come to know Jesus Christ? Of course, Paul's example is huge. He's the great, greatest people in the history of the church. But we can start from very small things. A change can be taken and taken place and happened when we help others in a small way. See, no matter what we have, but what as long as we are willing to help others to grow their faith, to come to Christ, I guess there will be a fruit from those very small actions. As I conclude, I'm going to just play another very short video. This is the change can be taken place from very small things. Hopefully, as we watch this video clip, you could be encouraged that. We would do small things to show love to others. We would help others come to know Christ as we be more proactive. Let us watch.
จะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด